All right, well, let's take our Bibles and open them to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And, you know, as was mentioned, this is a overview of the book of Ezekiel, which means it's not the kind of study where I can tell you every little thing about the book of Ezekiel. I may not hit your area of inquiry, but what I want to do is I want to give you a big overview of this book. Because you run into a book like this in the Bible, it's 48 chapters, and it's sort of, how do I get my arms wrapped around this? And particularly, you start reading here in the opening section about these four wheels and all this stuff, and you say, well, I guess I'll go do my quiet time in Romans instead. This stuff scares me. So, a lot of people are very intimidated by the book of Ezekiel, but it's a beautiful book. And we're going to be flying about the 10,000 foot level, trying to give you the big picture. You know, sometimes we can be so interested in the veins on the leaves of the tree that we forget what the forest looks like. So what is the big forest? What is the big picture here in the book of Ezekiel? Well, of course, we know about the Abrahamic covenant, don't we? Unconditional covenant that God entered into with Abraham, the patriarch of the Jewish people. And you might also know that the Mosaic covenant comes alongside the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. The Mosaic covenant is conditional. How does that really work? Well, it's the difference between ownership and possession. You could own something, but you're so busy working or whatever that you never have a chance to enter into what you own. So you might have a beach house somewhere, but you're so busy working, you never have a chance to enjoy your beach house. But you own it. So the Abrahamic covenant gave to the nation of Israel ownership over her blessings, land, seed, and blessing. Those will always be hers forever. But whether any generation enjoys what they own, possesses what they own, really relates to their response to the Mosaic covenant. And the Mosaic covenant can be very strict. It has in it the cycles of discipline. The nation of Israel was told very clearly that when she got outside the covenant and disobeyed the covenant, God would bring literal curses against her. And they would culminate in a nation, Deuteronomy 28, verses 49 and 50, a nation that they didn't know, whose language they didn't know, would come against them and disperse them from their land. So what you discover as you go through the Bible is the nation is in rebellion many times against its own covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and so God brings discipline. When Solomon left the throne, the kingdom was divided between the northern tribes, 10 northern tribes headquartered in Samaria, and the two southern tribes called Judah headquartered in Jerusalem. The northern kingdom continued to slide downward, and so God brought discipline again, exactly what he said he would do, going back to the time of Moses through the Assyrians. 722 BC, 2 Kings 17, the Assyrians scattered the northern tribes. So only the south remains, Judah. Judah, did she learn her lesson? No. She continued to slide downward. And so God did exactly what he said he would do through the prophet Moses. He brought the southern tribes into captivity at the hands of the who? The Babylonians, about 586 BC. And so by the time Ezekiel gives his prophecies, it's important to understand that Ezekiel is prophesying to the Hebrew exiles in Babylon. So he is located 350 miles to the east in captivity, and he is prophesying to these exiles. Now, in the Babylonian deportation, what's very important to understand is when Nebuchadnezzar came, he He came in three waves. He didn't come all at once. So He came first in 605 BC, and that's when Daniel is taken into captivity as a teenager. And that's where the book of Daniel begins. Then Nebuchadnezzar came a second time in 597 BC, and he came for the majority of the nation, not just the princes. And this is where Ezekiel is taken into captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to come a third time in 586 BC, and he's going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. So really the key to understanding the book of Ezekiel is the book of Ezekiel takes place when 597 had already happened. But 586 hadn't happened yet. So he's prophesying to these exiles who basically think that they're going to go right back to Jerusalem. They don't really think 586 could ever happen. They don't think the city and the sanctuary could ever be destroyed. So they think they're here in Babylon for a short time and they're leaving. So what Ezekiel is doing in the first part of his ministry is he's tearing down their false optimism. And then, right around the middle of his ministry, towards the middle of the book, he gets word that Nebuchadnezzar has come, and he's laid siege to Jerusalem. And Ezekiel gets word in chapter 33 of his book that Nebuchadnezzar has finished the job, the city and the sanctuary are destroyed, and now these exiles that he has been prophesying to are so dejected, he's got to build them back up again. So he's trying to get rid of false pessimism by reminding them that yes, things are very severe. You're not going back to Jerusalem, but that doesn't mean that God has forgotten the nation of Israel. And that's where he gives his glorious prophecies of the future. So therefore, the book of Ezekiel has three parts to it. Chapters 1 through 24, he is prophesying judgment upon Judah to a group of people who thought that Nebuchadnezzar would never come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Then about 588 BC, he gets word that Nebuchadnezzar has started to lay siege against Jerusalem. And that shifts Ezekiel's whole ministry. And he now begins to prophesy to the surrounding nations, who thought that they could profit because of Judah's decline. And he does that in chapters 25 through 32. Then in chapter 33, he gets word in 586 BC that Nebuchadnezzar's finished the job. And now these exiles that were filled with so much false optimism are now dejected and filled with false pessimism. They don't think God has any future for them. So in the final section of his book, chapters 33 through 48, he unfolds the glorious future that God has in store for the nation of Israel. Reference was made to Dr. Dyer's chart here, and I got his permission to use this. This chart really helps you see the big picture of the book of Ezekiel. Chapters 1 through 24 are symmetrical to chapters 33 through 48. In other words, part 1 of the book is symmetrical to part 3 of the book. In part 1 of the book, Ezekiel preaches judgment. In part 3 of the book, he preaches restoration. In part 1 of the book, his mouth is closed, where he can't talk unless God allows it. In part 3 of the book, his mouth is opened. In part 1 of the book, he's commissioned by God to preach judgment. In part 3 of the book, he's recommissioned by God to preach restoration. In part 1 of the book, the Shekinah glory of God leaves the temple. Part 3 of the book, the Shekinah glory of God in a vision in the millennial temple re-enters the temple. And the fulcrum that balances those two sections that I just described is his judgment on the nations in chapters 25 through 32. Here is the same concept, just portrayed a little bit differently. There's the finger holding up the symmetrical parts that are balanced, and part 1 is symmetrical to part 3, as I've tried to describe, and the fulcrum is chapters 25 through 32, God's judgment on the surrounding nations. So what in the world is Ezekiel doing? He is trying to, as the saying goes, afflict the comfortable, but comfort the afflicted.